All right.
So Amos 7:7-8. I don't really understand what that plumb line means. I read the definition of it, that it's, the center of things or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't understand what it has to do with scripture.
So, and you have to understand, especially like with Amos and with Joel and Hosea, they're speaking of, would you say Amos 7?
Yeah.
Which verse?
7-8.
Okay. So let's read it. So in Amos, 7, this is, I want to see where to start. Once again, this is part of his visions in this one. So we'll start and read it. It says, this is what he showed me. So this is his vision. This is what God has given him. It says, the Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb and with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked me, what do you see, Amos? A plumb line, I replied. Then the Lord said, look, I am setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. And when you think of a plumb line, you're thinking of the things that are in the right measurements or in the right, like you said, balance or in the right level, if that makes sense. So he's saying, Israel, I've allowed, just like what we were talking about, there's certain things he allowed, like when he allowed divorce and when he allowed them to have multiple marriages and all that other stuff. He allowed this stuff, but he's saying to Israel in this vision and using a builder or building as an example, he's basically saying to them, Israel is not going to get this chance within mercy anymore. They're going to have to stand, you know, within standards. And it basically refers to this time now when we have access to Holy Spirit and we really have no excuse in that case. But it refers to judgment also when the time comes as well. So he's using that as an example of, I'm going to stop favoring crookedness, if that makes sense, or allowing crookedness and just looking past it. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes it clear.
And a lot of them, Joel, Amos, Habakkuk, they're notorious for using imagery to represent the spiritual something. So in their visions, he's saying, I'm giving you this in this vision, and it represents this.
Okay. So the other question, when we, I think it's Genesis 12:3.
Mm-hmm.
That scripture where it says, Father, if you honor Israel, I will honor you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I remember some time ago, I think you said that people think that's true, but that's not true now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So did Israel cease being the chosen people when the Gentiles were grafted in, or does that have nothing to do with it?
So, yeah, in a roundabout way, I can't say they no longer the chosen people, because there are a chosen people now. We see that in First Peter.
Is that a chosen people, a royal priesthood?
Yep. In fact, he shows us, just somewhat, so everybody else sees it too. We're not just the people. We are now the one that replaced that. First Peter 2, starting in verse 9. And if you're not there, you can just write it down and we'll come back to it. Or you read it later too, but he says in verse 9 of 1 Peter 2, he says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, watch this, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Now, it doesn't mean we treat Israel bad or anything like that, and there's going to still be a protection, but when he was referring to them in the Old Testament, because that was God's people. You understand that? There still is a respect and an honor God, a love he has for them. We read that in Romans 11. But when people try to physically use it now, it's another national thing where people try to gain a favor. And the way they do it is they go back to the Old Testament to try to favor something today. And this is why they're saying, see, we're the only ones that are friends with Israel. Isn't that great? Because we're friends with Israel. God's going to bless us. But we know in Revelations, he doesn't show anywhere that any nation is going to be spared. Read it again. Not one nation is going to be spared. You understand that? There may be a nation that might help somebody here or there, but the entire world is going to be destroyed. Only those who come out of it. You understand that? The entire world is going to go after Israel. So it's going to be one big thing. So either the nations that think they're supporting are going to be destroyed, or they're just going to be part of the problem as well. Because it's going to be the whole entire world government, or it's going to be a huge government that the world really respects. You understand this? It's going to be one or the other in each case. But that whole thing that they use right now is usually somebody's rhetoric to try to make a nation look better than what it is and using the Bible incorrectly.
So is First Peter, is it talking about the people that come out of the tribulation or what? Is that?
And First Peter's talking about Christians. First Peter is talking about us now. You understand? Right now. Right now. He says you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation of people chosen by God. We are. That's what we are right now. You understand? So as a Christian, we have to understand we are that nation now. You understand? And don't see it as we're the replacement. We are where Israel should have headed to. But Israel, but like I said, Romans 11 kind of breaks it down. He says, I had to graft them out and I grafted you in. That's for the Gentiles. But the whole entire thing is God's holy people fit into grace under Christ. And now we are that nation. Now we are that people. Now we are that priesthood. All the stuff that they were doing, they're having their chance, but the rest of the stuff that's happening with them is happening in a prophecy for the end. You know, we look at them in prophecy.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep. Sister Lisa has her hand up.
I have two questions.
Okay.
What your comment is. So I heard a pastor say, when we pray for things for ourselves, we should tell God how giving us the thing that we're praying for will glorify him because God cares about his reputation.
That's kind of right. So you know when it says do not, sometimes when we put it in that kind of word, we think we're convincing God or we're talking God into it. No, it's not that we're saying it because he's like, oh, I never thought of it that way. That's, of course, God, he's the all-knowing God. It's not that. It's us showing. That's where when it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in through everything, through prayer, petition with thanksgiving. The petition is that part. If I'm showing him, God, I'm doing it for this purpose and it's for your name and I'm doing it for the right purpose. And I'm showing that even though he knows my heart, I'm displaying that. That's where the petition part comes in. So it's not you going, saying something and God going, oh, so that's like in the Old Testament when Moses used to talk God from out of destroying Israel. He didn't talk them out of it. He petitioned for them. And then it just worked. You understand that? It worked because of him doing it within the grace of God, not that he convinced God because God was like, oh, I'm glad you're talking me down because I was unreasonable. Because we know that it would go against God's nature. So it's part of what God tells us to do. So in our prayers, we are supposed to plead our case, but a lot of times if we really try to plead our case, that's where we'll see where our real purpose is. You know what I mean? You'll see, I can't petition because this thing that I'm asked for has nothing to do with God. So you go, okay, never mind. I don't want it. But in a lot of times you're showing God, no, I really understand what I'm saying. And this is why I'm asking this. And you're laying that case out. But then the thanksgiving comes after that. When you're thanking him, whatever answer, however he deals.
My second question is about, I think it's Timothy and Titus. In the New Testament, Acts 16:3 and Galatians 2, verses 3-5, about Timothy and Titus being circumcised. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm confused about that because I thought in the New Testament, circumcision was of the heart, not a physical circumcision.
Exactly. So when it was referring to them, in fact, let's go to the one, which is his Acts
16, verse 3.
Okay. Acts 16. Because there was things they were teetering on, especially when we get deeper in the Old Testament, but I'll show you what I mean, but I want to make sure this is the verse 16, verse 3, where it says, Paul wanted to take him along on a journey, so he circumcised them because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was Greek. So now, in this case, what he was doing here was more of a, it wasn't the religious, because that's what I'm saying, when we get medically circumcised, that's fine. If we still got spiritually circumcised, we are not accepting Christ. Okay, there was a process they went through, which was a spiritual ritual of circumcision that they did it on the eighth day. They had the prayer. In fact, the Jews still do that whole entire thing today. Christians may do a medical procedure to do that. That's all that is. So in his case, he was doing more of a medical procedure in order to hide a situation. Now, some may say, how who would see that and all that? I don't know all that. But, you know, in either case, it's the fact of he's saying he's going in uncircumcised. The Jews, and the still new thing of Christianity, would have seen that and reacted in the wrong way of, this is a dirty Gentile. How dare you bring this person in here? So this was more of a physical thing, not a spiritual act. That's why he says he did it. So he says, because of the Jews who lived in that area. And this is still in the time where they started ministering. The first group they started ministering to was Jews, and then they start panning out into the Gentiles.
Thank you.
Yep. Other question?
I had a question on what she just asked. Was he looking at Timothy as a stumbling block?
Or just, it could have been a stumbling block, or it could have been a distraction. Or, you know, there, because even today, due to our old customs, I was talking to another Christian, and I'll give you how tradition can get in the way. And we were talking about clothing, like I was saying, and somebody can come in very well dressed, and we'll give them a whole lot more respect than a person who comes in well versed or knowing the word. You understand that? And we still do that today. And in the same way, the Jews really held a lot of these customs, even though they didn't do it in God. If you were, there's certain traditions. That's why he says you guys have a fine way of following these traditions, because there were some traditions like the holy washings. That's why when Jesus and them went and they and the disciples didn't wash their hands, and you know, the first thing people say, I can't believe they didn't wash their hands, because that became a ritual, a tradition. So we tend to follow tradition. So he knew they were going into this area to where a lot of these traditions held firm, so that wouldn't get in the way of the ministry. Let's just get that out the way. In another way, if that makes sense. Like there are some cases, and I'll do it for funerals and stuff like that. Y'all know, and I'll use that as an example. I wear a suit in certain cases, not because wearing a suit is sacred. It's just not for it to be a distraction in certain cases. But the other case I have to be careful is not to continue that tradition, so that goes before the act of, you know, the purity of our heart, and not looking on the outside, but on the inside, and things of that sort. So I have to balance that. And there's a way, you know, you have to really balance that. But we sometimes take human customs and give them more reverence than we do in the godly customs. So he just got that out the way. So that wouldn't be, that's why he said, cause he was Greek. You understand that? So it's showing how Timothy had both sides, and it was like, let's get rid of this, so that doesn't come into play in our ministry, if that makes sense. Other questions? All right. Praise God. Y'all got it to the last minute. Look at y'all. All right. So once again, go over what we went over today, and please listen to the questions again. There's one thing I am going to try to do per request. I got to figure out where I'm going to put it. The books of the Bible, I'm going to try to start recording that. So I got 3 weeks to figure out what I'm going to do for the next one. So I'm hoping, I don't know where, in other words, where to put it out on the website. My lovely wife suggested put it under Bible study, which I may do. So we'll see if that works and how that looks, and if it doesn't get lost in the mix. So we'll see how that goes. We're open for other suggestions as well. So just to put that out there, that's our plan for the future. If you ever have any suggestions in order to gain more out the ministry, by all means, bring them to me. I'm open to them, because I believe in whatever it takes to help you to grow in the word, I will do it. And whatever cost it may, or whatever we have to do to it, we will add it. So hopefully we can continue to do that. So we have nothing else. We will go ahead and pray. All right, let's pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, we thank you for your word, your instruction. Help us, dear Lord, to reverently follow that word and not just use you as a name in our lives, but to truly walk in the path that you provided for us, dear Lord. We ask for continual blessings of all of the body in the world today, that we may come together and recognize we are one and whom we represent, and to make sure that we're not allowing traditions and things to get in the way, that we minister in the way that we're supposed to, that we are looking out for people, recognizing that the time is short. With all that's going on in the world, dear Lord, let us not become distracted, and let us minister with our lives and everything that we do in whatever role and position you may have put us in. Let us do it in the way, showing the love and the patience and the kindness that you have shown us to have, that we're living through the Spirit. So as we leave out here today, let's be a blessing to everyone we come in contact with. with and continue to minister in all things that we do. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say, amen.
Amen.
All right. Love you all.
Okay, night. Hi, Bree. Love you. Love that picture.